I want to share this thought with you. I don't think we'll be too long. You guys all right for maybe two, three? It's 6:20, so 8:20, that's good, right? Yeah? Timely, you know, brings new thought to that. I was like, that was a timely word, Pastor. Yeah, lengthy. No, we won't do any of that. But I want to share with you, because I want to bring you a little bit into the mind. You like my decoration? No, I'm just kidding. Bring you into the thought process. You know, as again, it's always a privilege to be able here and share. So we get invited ahead of time about maybe when we're available to minister. And so when I got the date, like, okay, cool. And as it was a few weeks back, you know, so I'm just like, oh, right. And we're getting closer. I'm just like, man, I wonder who's preaching the Super Bowl. Sucks for them. No, I was kidding. I was like, I wonder who's preaching the Super Bowl. I'm like, wait, it's February 9th. I'm preaching the Super Bowl. It's a Super Bowl. But in the process of what my mind is thinking going into it, you know, you just got to ask the question, God, what do you want to say? Right? Because, you know, it's not about, we don't just kind of like Google, what should you preach on Super Bowl Sunday to keep people from looking up the score or being, right? So there's not a Google, it's not a chat GPT message. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. Right? As men and women who come and get to minister, we are but vessels. Amen? We are but vessels. And so, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? And the first thing I heard in my mind is, I'm here, aren't I? I was like, I'm here, aren't I? And he's like, because it can be like, oh, preaching to the choir on, you got to be really spiritual to be here tonight. But the Holy Spirit then prompted me to the story of the prodigal son. Now, if you think of the prodigal son, it can be hard to make that connection. Like, where are you going with this? But the Holy Spirit highlighted a special part of this story to me that made me realize, and again, it brought some new things to life. And I am so blessed that I got to be the first person to hear this message. And I know that you're going to be blessed tonight as we get into his word. But turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke chapter 15. I'm gonna explain the first part here of the prodigal son in case anyone hasn't heard of this story before, and then we'll pick up in a verse here shortly. But the prodigal son is a parable that Jesus is telling about a man with two sons. And his younger son comes to him one day and says, Dad, I want my inheritance early. I don't want to wait till you die. Give me what is due to me now. So his dad obliges, gives him his money, and essentially he goes off and squanders his money. He goes off and spends it in fast living and doing all these crazy things. Then one day, as he's out of money, guess what? He's also out of friends. That'll preach right there. Ran out of money, ran out of friends, and found himself in dire straits, actually hungry. So he goes to work as a basically a farmhand, and is with the pigs, man, like, these guys eat better than I'm eating. And then he got it one day, like, you know what, I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to go back to my dad's house. I'm just going to go begging and pleading and asking him. I'm sure I won't be his son anymore, but at least, because I remember when I was living with my dad, even his servants ate better than I'm, even his servants were living better than what I'm in right now, so maybe he'll let me be one of his servants. Well, he goes home, and before he can even see his dad runs to him and brings him in, and his dad sees him, and guess what? He's like, we're going to have a party because my son is home. And, you know, that's really like, oh, my gosh, God is good, and we learn of God's faithfulness and all these amazing things. But one of the things that stood out to me was the second part of this passage. So go with me to verse 25. Remember, there was two sons. So we're going to highlight the older son. And I'm not biased because I am an older son. I have a younger brother. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Remember, they threw a party for the son, for the younger son. Verse 26, so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. He said, your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I can celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not my brother, when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fatted calf for him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus, and I thank you again for your word. And we know you are in this place. And Holy Spirit, you are the teacher, you are the counselor, you are our guide. Open up our ears, open up our hearts, open up our minds to receive what it is that you want to do. Transform us. Lord God, speak to us a new thing, Lord God, a new word, Jesus, that we might transform to look more and more like you. Again, we thank you for those who are in this place tonight. We bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Tonight, I'm going to be talking to you from the topic of learning the Father's heart. Learning the Father's heart. There's this father, again, this parable about this father. He found himself in a little bit of a conundrum, right? The son comes, but he has two sons. But we learn so much. Now, again, we know it's a parable, which really is it's telling a story about who Jesus is and God the Father. And one thing that we learn is proximity matters. And I don't know about you, but I can't do things on my... Well, I can try to do things on my own strength, but I tend to fall flat. And especially in this journey of walking out a Christian life, which meaning there's a constant having to crucify our flesh, right? We learned this morning, we've been talking about how, yes, we are no longer slaves to sin, but yet we have to crucify our flesh daily. And sometimes that can be difficult, especially in my own strength. So I find myself needing to lean on him in the same way. If I need to lean on this table, guess what? Proximity matters. If I don't have the strength, I need to lean on something. But if I'm over here, I can't quite lean. And what's going to happen? I'm going to fall. Proximity to the source of the strength matters. So when you and I find ourselves knowing that we are weak in our flesh, that's how much more important we need to say. We're like, well, that's great for a newer believer or a new Christian. Can I tell you, I find that the longer I've known Jesus, now, I got saved at 5 years old. I had some seasons of backsliding, but I'm almost 20 years back, like, no, for reals, I'm not messing around no more. So after almost 20 years of really getting close to Jesus, I find the more I need to get closer to this. I just need him all the much more. Now, am I always doing this? No, but I this is where I need to be. This is where I want to be. This is where I desire to be. Lean in on the source of strength. Because the proximity matters. Now, there's a lot of different ways you might have heard this story preached, but I really felt like the highlight of what God was trying to do was he's showing us who he is and who we need to be. How we can be good sons and daughters of Christ, and really his desire for us. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 7 and 8, it'll come up on the overhead here. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I mentioned my little decor here. It's doing all right. It has a little bit of thing here. But if you realize or notice, this plant, it's right in the water with its roots. And it has to have the appropriate amount of light. It has its root in the water where it's going to get its access to its life, right? But you take this plant out of its source, and guess what? What's going to happen to it? It's going to die. But the source of his life, is it far or is it close? It's close, right? But guess what? We can be close to our life, but unless we really get ourselves fully entrenched, we're going to find ourselves dying. What am I saying? I'm glad that you're here tonight on a Super Bowl Sunday. But guess what? You don't get extra credit because you came to Super Bowl Sunday. Because you can be at church. Come on. You can be around church. You can be near where godly things happen. You can be around Christians and yet not follow yourself. You can be having attended church for 10 years but never have really dove in to get the life that we need. See, that passage in Jeremiah said it spreads its roots in. He didn't just say it gets to be by water. Look, you can be by water. It's by the water, but is it putting its roots down in the water? So the proximity has something that requires us to delve in a little bit more and be near and receive our nutrients and receive our life. But oftentimes we just kind of want to see, how can I still do this like one foot in, one foot out thing? And like, oh, that looks cool. Oh, wait, no, but I'm Christian, so I got to, you know, we're doing all this like crazy stretches and calories because we're trying to do as much as we can without doing any work. Does that make sense? Kind of like high school flashbacks. Like, what do I got to do to get a B, right? I was like, I got to have a 3.0, right? You know, so, like, what I got to do? Right, but we're living our, but guess what? That's not where life is going to come in. And I would tend to say, if you're in this place tonight, there's a part of you, there's something in you that desires more than just status quo, desires more than just to say, I go to church. Is there anybody in the place tonight that desires to get its source of life from the source of life? Amen? That we would get our nutrients, that we would get all that we need from Jesus Christ. As spiritual leaders and as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can give you a support system. There's all kinds of scriptures that talk about how we can come alongside you and support you and give you community, and that's awesome. But we cannot give you life. We cannot be your hope. We cannot be your strength. We can help strengthen you, but Jesus is our source. Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our hope. In Him is where we find our salvation. It's not a matter of an association. This is not a club that you come to. Like if you have your club card, you're in. This is part of the thing that becomes our life. It's who we are. And so tonight, that is the invitation on how we can find out what the Father's heart is. Because these two brothers, these two boys, missed out on something. They missed out on something. I want to share a story with you. There was a tour guide of a famous museum. And he'd work there. He was everyone's favorite tour guide. People would wait because this gentleman would be able to go around, and he expressed the art. He knew the history. He knew the story. He knew all the different predicaments, and people would get so entrenched in the stories he would tell about the origins and the time period and what the colors represented, everything it meant. But then one day someone asked him, what's your favorite painting? And he was at a loss for words. He realized that while he was by all this amazing art and had all this information, he had yet to really enjoy the art himself. He approached it as, well, that's that painting. What's the script I got to read on that? What do I have to learn on this? What is maybe going to get the people to ooh and ah? And so he'd walk by these masterpieces that people would travel all over the world and pay any amounts of money just to get a glimpse. And he never really took the time to enjoy and value its beauty. So he was stuck. Such is how we at times can approach our life with Jesus, where we learn the worship songs. We can learn, oh, what do I have to do in times of trouble, or what do I have to do here? But we never really quite appreciate all that the Lord has done and wants to do in our life. He becomes the source of how we maybe get out of trouble, or how we find ourselves out of a financial burden or issue. It becomes really cliche to say blessed and highly favored, or all is good, or I know I can, yeah, you know, God is good. You know, like all the Christianese cliches we can say. But are we really leaning into the heart of the Father and about what He's saying about us, and are we learning about Him? See, again, these two brothers, I want to take you the specific part of this story. But before we do that, go with me to Isaiah chapter 29. Because we can talk about our church attendance. We can talk about going through motions, and by no means am I knocking church attendance. All right, I'm glad you are here tonight. But we would always be remiss to assume that being around church or doing Christian things or listening to Christian radio or not doing unchristian things is what's going to really walk us into a life with Jesus. I love you enough to be in your face enough to tell you that conventional or comfortable or situational Christianity is not what God has called you and I to. Because what will happen is the circumstance will get a little bit too tough. And we won't be able to quite explain to ourselves or to our loved one why bad things happen. When I went to church, when I tithe, look, I even went on Super Bowl Sunday and I got 2 stars in my thing this year, Jesus. Right? Like, that's not how this is work. This is not what we're invited to. So in Isaiah 29, 13, and so the Lord said, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. What is he saying? That we can honor with lips. We can have all the right sayings. We can go through motions. But is our heart really close to God? Tonight we want to learn about the heart of the Father and how we can lean in. In Luke chapter 15, remember earlier verses. I was getting stuck right here in the message. I told you I was like, okay, God, this is what we're saying. And I would get to this spot and I was like, okay. So I know that you're not just calling us to just attend church or just walk through Christian motions. But then what? Where are you taking us? The Holy Spirit, just go back to the text. Go back to the text. And I don't know about you and I, but sometimes Jesus is just inviting us to sit with him, to sit in his word. You know, I don't know if you ever, we could tell the truth in church, just like Googled, hey, what's the scripture for this fill in the blank? Right? We know God's promises are strong. And so we know we want to go to them, but maybe we don't always know what they are. So we ask somebody, ask a friend or a brother or a pastor, hey, what can I pray or how can I ask God for this or that? And that's great, but how often do we actually just take that verse, take that scripture, and just sit with it? Remember we talked about this is the living word of God. And you read it once, and if we take it for its face value, oh man, that's good. That's exactly what I needed for today. Awesome. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you take that verse and read it again and read it again, and God forbid, memorize that verse, and then wake up tonight or wake up tomorrow and read it again, and guess what? It's going to paint this fuller, bigger, more vibrant picture of what's going on. And then it suddenly transcends just your current circumstance and predicament and becomes this encapsulates so much more, and this, oh my gosh, this is alive. How did it mean one thing yesterday and mean something new today? How did it get me through one predicament yesterday and get me through something completely different today? That's the living word of God, and that's what happens when we sit at Jesus's feet. That's what happens when you sit with somebody. Like, oh, it's kind of, you get the multifacets of somebody, right? You see somebody who, it's one thing I heard someone say, you don't really know someone until you've seen them not get their way. Right? Like, oh my gosh, they're so fun. They're so happy. They're so happy-go-lucky. Oh my gosh, they're just chill. Because you see them and they're happy. You see them while they're eating. Or you see them at the movies. Like, we're always hanging out. Like, yeah, you see them at the party. You see them like, but have you seen them not get their way? That's when you really get to know somebody. Come on, somebody said amen. I heard a lot of amens there. I wish I didn't get to know. No, I was kidding. So when I go back to the text, all of a sudden I go back in the first part. I know I just kind of fast-forwarded and gave you the cliff notes of that first part of the story here. But we're going to jump into verse 20 in reference to this first son. In verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, I have that verse highlighted. He ran to his son. This father didn't wait. Now, this father, now, in context, you know, we can understand that a Jewish man of his stature, who had the wealth that he had, would not, you know, be caught running. But yet his son comes home. He didn't wait to find out, like, oh, look who came home, or I told him so. While he was still afar off, you get this picture of this long country road that this man had acreage and acreage, and he just sees, like, wait, that's my son. Instead of just waiting, he runs off. He pursued his son. Now let's fast forward to verse 28. That's son number one, verse 28. Remember, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. I'm not going in there. My younger brother got his way. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Remember, this is a picture of the father. Whether you've been far off, whether you've been around, God comes to us. The loving Father will go to you. He's not waiting for you to clean up your act. He's not waiting for it until you beg and plead for mercy. He's not waiting until you get your head right. Is he having a pouty fit again? The Father went out. The Father went out and pursued his children. You are God's child. I am God's child. He pursues us. So when we're talking about learning the heart of the Father, we're getting a glimpse. This is not the Father's ideal situation. Remember talking about getting things his way? This is not how he would have pictured having his son go off and squander and take money and having his other son be upset. But yet he ran off. God desires to be with us. We're going to go over three quick things. I'm going to let you go tonight. Three things that we want to lean into. See, we typically kind of present to you some things that we have to do, some practical applications of things that we got to do. But I really just felt the essence of this passage was talking about just things to be aware of that we can lean into. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff we have to do, practical things that we can do. Let's pray. Let's get in our word. Let's get in the presence of God and come to church and do those things. Those are awesome. But sometimes we just got to know. You just got to know whether you're far off, whether you're close by, God is after you. And can we just sit in that? Can we sit in knowing you're loved? Can we sit in knowing that you're forgiven? And so I just want to encourage you with these few quick things. Is that all right? I know I got you, your ears went up when I said quick. You're like, amen, pastor, I'm going to hold you to it. Attributes to lean into. First thing. Lean into his mercy. He's a merciful God. We just saw verse 20. Verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on and put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Did the father say, You did. You did me wrong. Let's go through and let's talk about how we're going to not let that happen again. Let's make sure that you don't do that. This is your punishment. This is what's going to happen. But he forgave and was merciful. God is calling us to lean into his mercy. You know, I could probably qualify everything single point that we're going to go over tonight with, hey, let's make sure that we're not, you know, getting really greasy in our grace and making sure that... But just know, can we just know that God is a merciful God? And that let me go to this other, I love this passage here. Maybe you already know where I'm going, but Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new. His mercy is new. His forgiveness can cover. Come on, he is good and a merciful God. When you look in the mirror and you try to bring up your mistakes, that's you. That's not God. His mercy. If we have a repentant spirit, this son came and he repented. I'm sorry. That's a repentant heart. I've sinned against you. And he didn't say anything but go and bring my son back in. Go and put him in the garments that he belongs in as my son. Put him in his proper place as my child. Put the ring that signifies his family, his calling, his purpose. Put it on my child. Come on. You are clothed with righteousness, the word of God says. You and I can walk knowing that we are called according to his purpose, that we are loved, that his mercy true is indeed new every morning, that we don't have to be, come on, weighed down by our past, weighed down by our frustrations, look in the mirror by the mistakes that some of our natural consequences remind us of every day. But yet God is merciful. He is merciful. Can we lean into his mercy? As we're learning the Father's heart, we have to learn that he is a God that is merciful. Second thing tonight, lean into his generosity. Remember, we just read, he gave him the robe, he gave him the thing. He had already given him all the money. He had already gave him his half of his inheritance. But yet here he is bringing the calves. The passage says how there was music playing. They had to hire the musician. Hey, go hire the DJ. Then you got to rent the tables, you know, you got to get some linen. I mean, they threw a party for him. The fatted calf that would have maybe otherwise would have been sold for money. And they're killing the calf to celebrate and party, to celebrate his return. The generosity of our Father, the generosity that he puts on us, his generosity of love, his generosity of forgiveness, his generosity of the mercy that he bestows upon us. He doesn't hold back. Our God is not holding back and giving us just the quota enough for what we need. It's an overflowing love, an overflowing generosity. And he's showing us his heart that we might also learn his heart. Why do we call people to be generous? Because he himself is generous. When we live generous life, it opens up our life. It just opens up our life. Instead, oftentimes we want to live like as if it's never going to go anywhere. Yet this father, how he saw it, was my son that I thought was gone. Who cares if he squandered the money? I'm happy my son is home. And there was this generosity overflowing to him. And again, even with the older son, in verse number 31, remember after he was mad at his dad, he said, "My son..." The father said, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. All my possessions, everything I have is yours." This is Jesus telling this story of what the Father tells to you and I. That the access that we have, that God doesn't hold back. He's not a tightwad. He's not bringing things back sparingly. He doesn't want to hurt us, but what we have access to, all that he has. That's why we love to hear that scripture that our God has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. I remember I got a picture of this when I was driving through the Central Valley, and there's these rolling hills with cattle and this green pasture land. It was in the springtime, and it was just like, oh my gosh, this scripture just popped into my, like, oh my gosh, this is what that could look like. You see all this land, all these hills full of, It was those black and white cows, just too. Like, it was like, oh, this is like a painting. And it's like, oh my gosh, what our God possesses and how he's generous with it. He's generous. His spirit, his heart is to be generous. And as we lean in, again, to hear his heart, we too will be generous. Not just in possessions, but like him. Can we be generous? Could you and I be more generous in how much mercy we give to people? Could we be more generous in how quickly we could forgive people? Instead of holding grudges? Instead of getting so upset at people's posts on social media? Instead of getting mad because of the team that they root for or whatever? Whatever things that, you know, it doesn't take much to frustrate us. Come on, let's be real. If someone thinks differently than us, can you believe it? Can you believe what they said? Can you believe who they rooted for? Can you believe who they voted for? Can you believe? I'm starting to be able to believe, but I think the thing I'm believing is you're the problem. But can we be more generous with our mercy? Can we give more benefit of the doubt to people? I believe we can, and I believe God is calling us to that. Last thing, lean into his presence. God desires to be with us. And can we be real? I don't always know why. I'm with myself sometimes, and I get frustrated with myself, so I can't imagine. But for some reason, he desires to be with us. And we see that here. And how I see this parable closing out was really, you have these two sons. One decides to leave. The other who has stayed, but neither one of them knew their father. And I thought about it like this. You can be around the house and not know the heart of the house. You can come to church. You can call yourself a Christian. But do we know who the Father is? Because sometimes we'd be saying things like, that's not godly at all. We take positions. We draw boundary lines that some psychologist said and try to act like it's Bible. We take takes on whatever and try, political takes and takes on this scripture and this Bible here. Oh, yeah, that means this or that. Or manifesting, that's just this thing, you know, like it's like, you know, it's Christian. Like, what are we talking about here? We can be around the house and not know the Father at all. See, the second son, who never went anywhere, what was his gripe? His gripe was that, man, you never threw me a party. I've listened to everything you said. So when the Father says that everything I have is yours, what is he saying? I would have given you a calf if you wanted one. Everything I have is yours. You never asked. That tells me he didn't know his dad. He didn't know how generous he would be. He didn't know how forgiving he would be. You and I are called to know the Father. Why? Because he wants to know you. So we have to lean. It's kind of, I get that picture of the passage that says how Peter leaned on the chest. He just wanted to be right there with Jesus and to learn his heartbeat, right? Can we lean into the Father and learn his heart? What would life look like if we knew what Jesus would do in a certain predicament? I think maybe we would drive a little bit better. Maybe we would change the way we spoke to other people. Maybe it would change our parenting. It certainly would change our spending habits. It would change how we drove in and out of the parking lot, even at church. Why? Because as we learn the Father's heart, as we learn in to see his mercy, as we learn in to see, come on, his generosity, how he'll take care of us, it's all available to us anyways. And we get into God's presence. Oh my gosh, that's going to transform our life. I want to leave you with this quick thing. In Psalm 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. There's an epidemic of depression, of frustration, of hurt. Even amongst believers, oftentimes, we don't have the joy that God is calling us to. But if we learn the heart of the Father, we can understand the joy that is available to us, because in his presence is fullness of joy, a completion, a perfect amount of joy available in God's presence. What does that mean? That's sitting at his feet. That's reading that scripture, that word of the day, that passage, just one more time. Just that, playing that worship song just on repeat, and just a little bit more time. See, because I'll be honest. Sometimes I'm like, all right, God, let me get this time with you thing done, because that's the thing I'm supposed to do. Does anyone ever rush through time with Jesus? But what happens when we just sit there and we learn his heart? I think it's going to take us to a deeper place in our own life and in the lives of people around us. We'll be able to better empathize. We'll be able to better speak to and minister. We'll be better lights. We'll be better conduits of his power. And as the church of Christ, I don't know about you, but it starts to rub off on other people. And you'll start to know people that spend time with Jesus. not so we can get self-righteous about it, not so we can start, we're in the really spend time with Jesus club. That's our flesh tends to do that. It starts with we came to church on Super Bowl club, and it's like we spend time with Jesus every day club, and it's like we want to escalate this thing, and then like, oh yeah, oh you do that too, and it's like we're trying to narrow it down. Right, it's like we try to narrow it down to get in our spiritual elitism, and guess what? We're being like the sons who don't know the Father's heart at all. Because the one son of, I did all the things right, God. And guess what? We're going to set ourselves up for disappointment, because what happens is we're going to say, but God, because life inevitably happens to us. Things don't always go the way that we thought or that we prayed for, because we don't understand the bigger picture. But then we're going to say, but God, I was in the right club. But God, I attended the right church. But I prayed amount. But I spent enough time. But when we spend enough time with it, we can understand that it has less to do about how much we know or don't know and more to do about us just being able to sit with the Father. Whether it's up or down, the Father desires to be with us. That's why he would humble himself and run out to the road, and before he even gets there, no questions asked. I wonder what he did with my money. I wonder what he wants. I don't care about any of that. I'm going to run. I don't care if my son's bitter or mad. I'm going to go out to him. Wherever we're coming from tonight, God desires to be with us. And as we lean in to see the heart of the Father, again, remember, we can be in the house, but it doesn't mean we know his heart. We can be around Christian things, but the challenge for you and I is if we can sit at his feet and allow him and lean in to his mercy and his generosity and lean into his presence and what he's speaking. Chris, do you mind coming out real fast? I want to give us a moment. I told you I'd be quick. I just want to give us a moment, what we do in our morning services, to just reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you tonight about how you can lean into these areas. Where is God inviting you to? See, the invitation to come and spend time with him is open. Where is he asking you specifically to lean into? Do you need to understand better his mercy, his generosity, his forgiveness, his call, his purpose? Thank you, Father, that you show us a picture of who you are. And I ask tonight, Jesus, for your grace to empower us when we can't, when we don't know quite how to get closer to you, when we don't know what to do, we don't know the next step. But as we put our ear to your heart to learn what you're calling us to, what the invitation is, and what you have for us, Jesus, we thank you. We receive that tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said, amen, amen. Is it Pastor Joel? Come on, Pastor Joel.
Wow, such an important word. The Father's heart. Look at the Father's heart in giving. We're about to get to give. Look at the Father's heart. Look at the Father's heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this: now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for the sowing and increase of your harvest of righteousness. Now the NLT says this: God provides seed to the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, increase your resource and your production for the harvest of generosity. God's a generous person. And because God is a generous person, we can become generous with him. How many are ready to be generous tonight? How many are ready to be generous tonight? There's many, many ways to give. Behind me, there are many, many ways to give, but it's not a religious act. You got to understand, just like Pastor Antonio was teaching, it's the heart of the Father to bless you. And for the heart of the Father to bless you, you need to want to be blessed. You need to have that willingness. God, I need. But God needs something from us. He needs that heart, faith-filled act of generosity. So as we give tonight, we don't give from our abundance. We don't give from our lack. We give from our heart. All giving is a heart reaction to our faith. God, you're so generous. You got me covered. I don't care what the world is going through. I don't care what I hear in the news. I care what you say, and what you say in your word is you will provide for every one of my needs. You got me covered. You'll never leave me poor. You'll never leave me bankrupt. That's our God. He promises to do that. He promises to do that for you. He's not stingy at all. Our God is a very generous God and a very loving, kind God. How do we do this? We sow in faith. We sow in faith. So as you get your offerings ready, if you're in need of a physical envelope because for cash, or you want to write something on the envelope of your credit card, ushers are standing by. Just raise your hand. If not, the easiest ways to give is online giving, text to give. I personally like the app because you could use it anywhere. It's secure. But God is looking for the simplicity of our act of faithfulness. I'm going to pray over your offering online on campus. Father God, I thank you, Lord, because you're a God that sees everything. And you know everything about us. You give us the capacity to create wealth. You give us the energy to have work. And you're so generous that nothing misses you. Now, Father God, I know there's needs in the house, but there's also a need for a faith act of generosity, for us to be faithful. And faithful in the little things, like you give us, Father God, bread to eat, and you provide sustenance for us and our children to grow, for our families to have food on the table, for an outreach like the FDC to provide generous groceries to the community, free of no charge. That's your heart. They come in week in, week out. They come to get clothes, food, and there's an abundance of harvest because of you. We never lack. We never lack with you. So help us to be generous like you, because that's your heart tonight. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. I got a few announcements. Rock internship meeting, February 15th, Saturday. That's Saturday. If you're 18 to 26, if you're interested in internship, this is my daughter Geneva has been 2 years of internship. It changed her life. She sowed seed diligently, and you know, it really, really set her heart towards the things of God. If you're a young person in the house, or you're online and you're interested, check the internship meeting out. You need to join that. Also, Women Rock AM is this week with Pastor Deborah, gonna be in the youth auditorium, and she's got a word for you ladies. You can't miss this Thursday. Also, we have up-and-coming announcements, and Pastor Antonio has saved the best part for last. Okay, so check out the screens with upcoming events. God bless you.
Would you stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise as John comes to bring us the Word of God?
The steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered of God. He sees the end from the beginning. He's not bound to time. He knows your life. He knows the plans that he's made for us, right?
Invite someone to join us Saturday and Sunday morning, February 22nd and 23rd, for guest speaker Reverend John Bevere.
join us for the Rock Christian School Preview Days on February 18th and 19th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or come to our open house on March 24th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Tour our beautiful campus, meet the staff, and look into a day in the life of future Lions. Learn, grow, and thrive in a godly environment.
Correction, it was John who laid at the chest of Jesus. Just wanted to make that correction. So you can be like Peter or John, but if you want to be right in this case, you'll say John. Hey, before we leave, you know, we talked a lot about invitation to listen to God's heart. But first, I want to make sure that I invite everybody and give everybody in this place an opportunity to be a follower of Jesus. You know, it would be great. I'm glad everybody's here, but actually not great. It would be a shame if we just dismissed and sent everybody home, because what I would be doing is presuming that the fact that you were here tonight means that you know Jesus. And the reality is that's not true. Reason being is because many of us can live our entire lives. Remember, we talked about being around the water, being near the water, being familiar with Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we know Jesus. It doesn't mean that we follow Jesus. All of our lives will eventually come to an end. And the question that I have for you tonight, for you to answer amongst yourselves, is when your life is over, where are you going to spend your eternity? Will you spend your eternity in the presence of God in heaven or outside of the presence of God in hell? I know that kind of sounds like a abrasive introduction to a question, but the reality is those are the only two options. And here at The Rock, we confront the tough issues head on. Because we understand that there's no, life is not promised. There is no age group that we're guaranteed today. Tomorrow is not promised for any one of us. And so we must leave you with the harsh reality of those two things. And so you might be thinking, well, I'd for sure go to heaven, because most people don't just assume they're going to hell. But let's go over the reasons why. Maybe you're thinking that you'd go to heaven again because you attended church tonight. The problem with that thought is that nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in God's word, the scriptures that he left for us of his word, do we find that church attendance, churchy things, religious acts, none of these things are what make us a Christian, making it so that we would spend eternity in heaven. Well, maybe you grew up again, you went to Bible school or studies, and you went to catechism, and you went through all the different scriptural or spiritual things that you're supposed to do. Again, nowhere in the Bible do we find that there's this checkboxes of things that we can do. Hey, man, I don't hurt anybody. I try to do the best that I can. You know, I'm a positive person. I'm a good person. You know, like, that's how the movies portray it, right? He was a nice person. He was good. See you in heaven someday. Can't wait to see you again. I know those are great thoughts, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. That living a positive life, I'm glad you do. I'm glad you live a positive life. I'm glad that you think about others. But that's not the invitation that God invites us to. It's God's heaven. We have to do it God's way. In the book of John, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus. He approaches Jesus. Now, Nicodemus, you have to get this here, he was a religious leader. He followed the law. He did all the right things. He avoided all the wrong things. By the standard that you and I would probably think or understand, Nicodemus is a shoe-in for making it to heaven. But he approaches Jesus and he asks him, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Now Jesus dumbfounds all of us by saying that you must be born again. Again, that had to be a radical thought, because this is a religious leader. He did everything he was supposed to do. Everything they knew to do at this time, Nicodemus was doing it. So for Jesus to say you must be born again, it's a crazy thought. First of all, because what do you mean born again? I can't go back into my mom's womb and be born. What? It's a crazy thought. The thought can be crazy if we're not careful today. But what essentially Jesus is saying is that, yes, you're born once naturally, but you got to be born again spiritually. And that happens when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. What does Lord mean? Old English word for boss. He's in charge. See, a lot of us live life our way. What makes us happy? We date who we want, eat what we want, go where we want. We're the boss of our life. No one's going to tell me what to do. As long as I'm just living all right, I'm not hurting anybody, I stay out of everybody's way, I'm the boss. But to make Jesus our Lord, to make Jesus our Savior, we're acknowledging that, hey, I'm not going to be the boss. And the reality is, you've tried life your way, and guess what? We were still lacking. I tried life my way. I was still lacking. Something happens when we surrender. Something happens when we say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my boss. That surrender, by giving up our life when he's already paid the price for our sins, for our mistakes, our shortcomings. He gave up his life, and we give up ours now, and in return, we get eternal life. In fact, the Bible says we get life abundantly. I believe that means here on this earth as well, and in our eternal life. Now, that doesn't mean a life without challenge, a life without grief or suffering, but it means that there's a life following Jesus. That's the invitation tonight. The invitation is for you to surrender your heart and life and give it to Jesus. And in return, Jesus not only gives us an eternal life secured in heaven, but in a life and an adventure in this world, in this time, like we talked about, to know him, to learn him, to be a part of who he is, to be covered by him, to have his mercy. That is what I'm inviting you tonight. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to hit my hand on the table. When you hear that smack sound, what I want you to do is get your hand up. By getting your hand up, you're identifying. The Bible says, you deny me in front of man, I'll deny you. You acknowledge me, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. You're getting your hand up. Here I am as a man. You're acknowledging Jesus. I'll see your hand. I'm going to count your hand. Because we are going to celebrate like that father did with the returning son home. See, outside of Jesus, we're lost. Outside of Jesus, we're doomed. But we want to celebrate your return home, your coming home to where God intended you to be. That's the invitation tonight. By getting your hand up, you're saying that. You're acknowledging that you need a Savior. You're acknowledging that you can't do it in your own strength. You're acknowledging that while you have tried, like many of us in here, you have fallen short, and there is no shame in that game. Get ready to get your hand up in a moment. Who needs to get hand up? If you've never done this before, you want to make sure that you're right with Jesus, get ready to get your hand up. 1, 2. Your heart may be beating fast. Maybe you're wondering what's going to go on. I'm not going to embarrass you. Maybe you're thinking the intent is not to embarrass you. Better to be embarrassed, though, than to risk an eternity in hell and not having access to the life Jesus is inviting you to. Get ready to get your hand up. 3. Let me see your hand in this place tonight. I see that hand. Anybody else in this place? Thank you very much. You can put it down. I see that hand over there. Thank you. Anybody else? I'll give you just a moment. We're on time tonight, but I want to make sure that you evaluate. I give you time to evaluate. Ask yourself those questions. And invite you to a life of surrender. Thank you. Okay, this is what we're going to do. If we could all just stand up, those two people and anybody else who needs to come forward tonight, if we could just clap for them, cheer them on. Come on. We want to invite you forward. We want to invite you forward. Why? Because I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer. Again, I'm glad that you were so bold as to raise your hand. But my brother, if you would just come on down. I want to pray with you over there. If you would just come on down. Come on, God is calling you home. God is calling you home.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open.
Anybody else in this place? Anybody else?
Forgiveness was bought with.
Awesome. Well, if there's nobody else, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know I was talking to you. You can just say this prayer too. Hey, I'm so glad you guys made it up here. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to lead us in a prayer. The Bible says when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, come on, and believe in our heart that we shall be saved. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make a declaration. We're going to make a prayer. It's not magical words, but we're just going to do put our faith in what his word says. So repeat this prayer after me. Everybody in this room, repeat this prayer. Again, especially if that was you, maybe you didn't raise your hand, maybe you didn't want to come down, but you know that's you. Let's say this. Say, dear Jesus, come on, dear Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner in need of a Savior. I ask, Jesus, that you wash away my sins, clean me up, make me new. I declare that I am a new creation. Old things are gone. All things are made new. I confess that you are Lord. And I confess that from this moment on, I will follow you all the days of my life. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Amen. 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 Come on. This is Pastor Joel. He was just up here. What he wants to do is get some information to you. Right? Because we know that, man, it is following Jesus, it's awesome, but it can be tough. And so we want to equip you, right? We want to come alongside you. So what we're all doing is we're all disciples of Jesus. And we want to come alongside and do that together. So Pastor Joel is going to share that with you. If you wouldn't mind just going with him, just take a moment of your time, follow him over, get some free stuff in your hands. Come on, that is so good. Come on, aren't you grateful to be in God's house? And aren't you grateful? See, I preached fast today. Well, go ahead and raise your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus. We thank you for your people that are called of your name, Lord God. I pray, Jesus, that you go before them. You set a hedge of protection about them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that everything they put their hands to, it would prosper in your name. And Lord God, we say with a great big shout of faith about the Inland Empire, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
What a blessing.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.